All right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat here. All right, Mike Griffith is on. Skunk 71 is on. Dana 59 is on. Scooter Magruder is on. B. Wethy is on. Judy Anita is on. King Slutsy McGroin is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Robin Aroni is on. JD Joy 25 is on. Scott Allott is on. Conservative Warrior is on. Christopher Arnott is on. Ever Eden is on. D9597 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Let's see here. Tim L. T-Bird's on. JD Joy is on. DK Jackson is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. General Plowman is on. Snag Dog is on. Those Jesus people is on. Peg McGroin is on. Uncle Wally is on. Ever Eden is on. Let me see here. Golf Master 1 is on. Jim Brody is on. One Fast Rob is on. Steph Toms is on. Judy Anita is on. Agravain is on. Scrolling down here. Let me see here. Missed anybody so far. Keeper 1376 is on. The one and only Clean Sanchez is on. That's a perfect way to start. Stop right there, Clean Sanchez. All right, latest on the shooting in New York. Allegedly, Aaron, what's it, 6 shot?
Yeah.
Is there any fatalities?
Not reported. Not confined.
No, we can't confirm fatalities. This is the white shooter. CNN reported. These people are so repulsive, so disgusting. If you can think of a better word than repulsive, disgusting, corrupt. It's not, I'm not going to use the cuss word, obviously. But CNN is absolutely disgusting reporting this supposedly a white man. Not all white man, of course, but here it is. I'm not saying that no white men ever do it, but of course CNN's lying about it. Or just wants, they just want it to be true. Imagine what this story would be right now. It's like right out of my friend over here, Brent, his home city, right out of Cincinnati. If it had been a gang of white people that attacked one or two black people instead of the other way around. And of course, and by the way, now it's making national news because all the negative things about social media, and there are a lot, the good thing about it is mainstream media is not the only source of information anymore. They do not hold the reins so that actual report, and everybody's dumb enough to shoot video and post video, even the perpetrators shoot video and post videos of themselves committing crimes, which is great. So now we can see it in CNN. Imagine right now, if this was a white man, this would be, it'd be all over. It's all over everything right now because it's fresh. The guy already committed suicide. It's fresh. But if this was a standard looking white American male with a MAGA hat on, this would be the biggest story on the planet because the people who have their hands on the spigot of mainstream information would want it to be such and would release it and would basically perpetrate a alleged story upon the world. Okay, but now it doesn't work out. How in the world can you look at this and say, hey, you know what, Aaron? Hey, Brett, there's a white man. Because that's exactly what CNN did. The NYC shooter has reportedly been identified as Shane D. Tamara, a Las Vegas resident, shot 6 people. One police officer has been shot. Went up, I think Brent said, to the 33rd story of this building. Allegedly, the NFL's on this story. There he is, dead, executed himself. And that's the end of that story. So there you go. Just want everybody to know that's what we know. If you know more, put in the chat to Aaron. Aaron will look it up, see if it's verified on social media, and we'll put it out there. All right, let's go to Trump is inking major freaking deals. Major deals. The Epstein stuff is starting to fade. It will actually fade. It will actually fade. And at this point, by the way, I want it to fade, just so you know. It's a debacle. How he handled it was a debacle. His part in what happened with Jeffrey Epstein is basically null and void. Nothing ever really happened. Hadn't had any contact with him prior to him ever. Remember, even Trump's contact with Jeffrey Epstein was long before he was a convicted sex offender. But and Democrats certainly can't say that. But anyway, so that stuff is starting to fade away. He's got it. He's releasing info as it comes out. They're trying to get the, it's funny because the Democrats are saying, well, you know, we want the Epstein stuff released now. We, of course, they had years and years and years to do it. All the way back to Hussein Obama, they could have released it, never did. Of course, because there's many, many Democrats on the flight logs heading out to Epstein Island to rape kids. That's an absolute fact. We all know that in fact is true. So, and then Trump, for some reason, decided to just make it an absolute Streisand effect disaster with how he handled it, but it's fading. And his polls have recovered. His polls, as we showed in the pregame, his polls have recovered. Things are going well. The things that I agree with and disagree with, you know, you always have to be honest. When whether you're right or whether you're wrong, which I believe I'm right in where I stand in those things, whether it was Iran, whether it was how he handled the Epstein thing, and it was simply how he handled the release of Epstein information. Because what's happened with the Epstein information was that it's all been corrupted by Maureen Comey, Clapper, Comey, McCabe, and all the rest of them. It's been corrupted. They're finding the old information, long since debunked information of the four hookers that Trump slept with that don't even exist, that his wife was introduced to him by Jeffrey Epstein, and that she was actually a prostitute herself. All of that has been debunked, but Trump has seen it before, saw that it was in the file because Maureen Comey put it in there, Clapper put it in there, Brennan put it in there, Comey put it in there, whatever it may be, because they've been maintenancing the file for all this time. So that's when he said hoax. He didn't mean hoax in the sense of, which, by the way, you're like, well, Tom, you attacked him because he deserved it. If you would have come out and said, this file has been corrupted by deep state actors Comey, Brennan, and Clapper, and Comey's daughter, who's handled every Epstein case and purposely mishandled every Epstein case so that basically everybody gets off, i.e., which is the same thing as Diddy. But anyway, I don't want to get into all that. But anyway, so if you would have just come out and said, hey, listen, this file has been corrupted. Here are the lies in the file. Therefore, the file currently is a hoax. Then everybody would have been okay. But he was full of himself at that time, and he thought he could just Jedi mind trick everybody and go, you know what? There's nothing to the file. This is not the file you're looking for, and everybody would just move on. That wasn't ever going to happen. But he thought he was that powerful, but he wasn't. He took a big hit, but he has recovered. He has recovered, and he is now inking just major, major deals. You saw on the pregame, the recovery in the polls went down in the polls for Epstein, went down in the polls for the Iran bombing, but has completely and totally recovered and is now at, you know, really high numbers. Aaron's sending me updates on the shooting in New York. The shooter killed at least 5 people now, so that's not good. Dadgum, that sucks. An NYPD officer is confirmed killed?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's the first one shot. Yep. Walked in the building
gosh.
And first one shot.
Yeah, I heard there was a guy working a special detail there. That's sad. That's sad. We'll keep updating it as we go. That's a sad deal. That is a legit mass shooting. But anyway, so Trump is just inking all these major deals, which, by the way, that shouldn't happen because New York City is a sanctuary city and it's a gun-free zone. So that never should happen. I thought that's what happened. Oh, that's right. Criminals don't listen to gun-free zone laws. But anyway, so it would have been good if everybody in the building actually had a firearm on them. It would have ended a lot sooner. But anyway, so Trump is now recovered. The polling data shows that he's recovered. He is killing it, man. He is absolutely killing it overseas. Got some debacles that have to be dealt with. Gaza, Ukraine is still raging. Gaza's still raging. But neither one of those things were started under the Trump administration. They don't belong to him. Those belong to Robinette Biden. But anyway, so let's go over the deals that he's inked real quick here. Nick Sorter tweet. Breaking, President Trump just announced he's reached a trade deal with the European Union. This could possibly be the largest trade deal in world history, right here. It's a huge deal. European goods coming to the United States will now have a 15% tariff. Basically, had a 0% tariff before, while we were paying double-digit tariffs with all of our items going into European Union. And the very strange thing about this is the absolute, delusion, illogical statements of people on the right and left. I will never, because it is right, and I don't want to call them right wingers, because they're not really right. I mean, they're not really conservative people. They are simply people that hold conservative positions, whether it's politicians or whether it's conservative positions in the area of punditry, in the area of political commentary, you know, whether it's like Mark Levin or whatever, they just hold those seats so you don't have a legitimate conservative there, i.e. basically all of Fox News. So but there's people on the right, people on the left saying tariffs, just to sum it up, make it easy, tariffs bad, just like Slava Ukraine. This is a simplistic thought. It's just, it reminds me of when Nick Fuentes debated Dinesh D'Souza. And all Dinesh D'Souza could say, well, it doesn't matter whether you agree or disagree with either person, all Dinesh D'Souza could do was fall back on tropes from conservatism. That's not even conservatism. Republicanism, rhinoism from 20 years ago. He got absolutely smashed in the debate because of that. But every people are on the right and left saying tariffs bad. Okay, how exactly are they bad when you're on the receiving end of them? I mean, they should be bad. And what they should be saying is that they're bad for us. In that, when we're on the receiving end of a tariff, in other words, a tariff is imposed upon us, they never say that they're bad. It's only bad when the United States imposes tariffs on other countries. How does that make sense to anybody? And these are the people running the country. This is why we're $37 trillion in debt. These are not our best. Trump is actually our best. Trump is actually a very accomplished member of our society. Whether people like him or not, and I like him, I love him, but I'm just saying, whether people like that or not, he is a very accomplished member. You know, it doesn't matter his ups and downs with business. All these billionaires have ups and downs with business. But it doesn't matter. He's a very accomplished member of our society. He's succeeded at levels rare people, you know, basically hardly anybody, statistically speaking, nobody succeeds at that level financially. So we actually sent our best. When you send Hussein Obama up there, what do you actually have? Or Joe, because Joe Biden was the same way. Both of them had accomplished absolutely nothing because Joe Biden started being a senator when he was 28. Hussein Obama was a community organizer, state senator for like one term, a United States senator for one term, and then became president of the United States. He never accomplished anything except for being a politician. It's just like somebody who's you know, on one of these like multi-level marketing systems that you see, you know, people trying to sell on TV. They're not experts at what they're selling you. They're just selling you access to their little multi-level marketing system, their little shell game system. They're no expert in what they're actually doing. And that's exactly what it is up there. None of these people are economic experts. None of these people are business experts. None of these people are relationship experts. None of these people have ever run a business in their life. That's why the people who actually have run businesses are doctors, not lawyers, because those lawyers basically, they become a lawyer so they can become a politician. So they're not experts in any area that they now oversee. They're not experts at all. Trump is. Trump is a business expert. And you see the ones that were actually had expertise in an area prior to becoming elected politicians, like Rand Paul. Rand Paul, like him or not, doesn't matter. He's a very effective politician. I love the guy, but doesn't mean I agree with him 100% of the time. I don't agree with anybody 100% of the time. I don't agree with my wife 100% of the time. Nobody agrees with anybody 100% of the time. But he's a great man and a great politician. But he was an accomplished MD prior to becoming a senator. And you see Marjorie Taylor Greene ran a very, very successful construction company prior to becoming a congressperson. So you see, they kind of stand out. And Trump does this. And they're kind of the outsiders because they look at this. Look at all these politicians like Schumer, Pelosi, Obama, Biden. This is $37 trillion worth of debt. An absolute failure is success to them. You're like, Tom, what are you talking about? It's absolute reprobate mindset. It's a reprobate mindset that you wake up every day and call this a success. And this is what every president has brought us. Every president and every politician in my lifetime, because we are less than $1 trillion in debt in 2000. Less than $1 trillion in debt. And George W. Bush added $8 trillion, made it $8 trillion. Hussein Obama made it $17 trillion. No, actually, he had it $11 trillion. So he made it. He made it $19 trillion before he left office. More accumulated debt under one president, Hussein Obama, than all other presidents combined. The prior record holder, of course, was George W. Bush, just before, because the Bushes and the Obamas go way back in the CIA together, because it's all just one giant snake with two heads. So bring it back to that original tweet for me, guys. So anyway, when somebody actually understands, because you can't look at the system and go, things are good. I mean, the rest of us, if our household looked like that, $37 trillion worth of debt, we would be in panic mode. For them, failure is success. Success is failure. The more you fail, the more you get promoted. But anyway, Nick Sorter tweet, breaking: President Trump just announced he's reached a trade deal with the European Union. This is a huge deal. European goods coming to the United States will have 15% tariff, and the EU will put 0% tariffs on U.S. goods. You know what this is called? Payback. And it's not revenge, it's retribution. It's actual paying back your debts. We have been paying tariffs into the UK, it is the UK. There's a separate trade deal with the UK, but because they're no longer part of the European Union with Brexit. But our goods have been going into the EU heavily tariffed, double-digit tariffs for decades. We can't send cars into certain areas, can't send beef into certain areas, whatever it may be. We aren't even allowed to freely trade. So now, you know what? There's now going to be a period. Everyone believes in reparations over there. So now you're going to get your reparations, EU, and the that's Ursula von der Leyen, you know, the COVID puppeteer, the COVID propagandist, the COVID totalitarian, whose husband works for Pfizer as she pushes the vaccines on everybody. He works for a contractor under Pfizer as she personally profited off of the vaccine she mandated. Never forget that. That's who that woman is. But anyway, so now it's payback. We're going to have now years, at least 3.5 years, of our goods and services going in, our goods going into the EU for free. So I want to know, Mark Levin and all the rest of the people said that tariffs were evil and the tariffs are going to crash the economy. And you keep seeing me put out these basic retractions. They're not actually retracting it because they're not admitting it and saying they were wrong. But all these people on CNN now coming out and saying, it appears that the tariffs are working. Before they're screaming from the housetops, this is going to crash the economy. We're going to go into recession because of these tariffs. Does this look like a recession to you? Does this look like a recession? Now they're all quietly walking back their bold-faced freaking lies. If it was you and I would go up to a podium and say, we were wrong, we're sorry, we got it all wrong. They aren't, of course, doing that because they're repulsive, disgusting people. That's what they are, disgusting, repulsive human beings. So now 0% tariffs on U.S. goods, 15% tariffs on EU goods coming into the United States. They're buying hundreds of billions in military gear. That's a lot of that's going to Ukraine. Make $600 billion in U.S. investments. Buy $750 billion in U.S. energy. Kind of a good deal for the United States of America. Hey, Aaron, can you do me a favor? Do some quick on-the-fly research.
Yeah.
Can you go and secure up all of Biden's deals that he secured with the European Union?
Oh, no.
None. Zero. 4 years. Zero. Imagine being a Democrat in 2025. You're Brian Krasenstein. And he's to this day, I mean, he's out there typing, Trump's a failure. Basically, every day, Trump's failing. I mean, do you realize that you just have to look at yourself in the mirror every day and say, I'm a repulsive, repugnant liar. And I'm going to go make my living doing that today. Because your guy did nothing. Obama. We could go back and let's look at all the trade deals that Obama secured. Zero. None. None of these people accomplish anything ever except commentate, basically just give us every day their vomitous commentary on our society. That's all we ever get. There's racism. There's transphobia. There's bigotry. There's xenophobia. There's chauvinism. That's all we get is a commentary on what they determine to be the current state of our society. Not Donald J. Trump. He's out securing foreign investment into our economy in the trillions. This has to bring him up now. This right here, look at all that money. All of that is over $1 trillion. Not to mention This isn't even the tariff money coming in right now, which could actually save the big, beautiful bill. And that's what Donald J. Trump has said from day one. That's what Scott Bessent, a Treasury Secretary, has said from day one, is that what nobody is counting in the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, what the CBO is not accounting, because CBO says, which is what I've quoted, that the big, beautiful bill adds $2.3 trillion worth of debt to our current debt this year. But what the CBO doesn't take into account, which, by the way, on paper, that's what it does. I ain't lying. That's what it does. And there should be way more cuts because we're still funding all those NGOs. Don't have time to get into my... I'm sure everybody wants to hear it. My NGO philosophy again, but I'm not going to do that to you right now. But anyway, not the, all, you know, the only thing the United States is about is forming NGOs to employ Democrats. But anyway, slithered it in there for just a second. All those things are still funded for all intents and purposes. They really are all still funded, which that shouldn't happen. But according to Trump, according to Bessent, which, by the way, they've both been right. So I hope I'm wrong. I will come out and gleefully, when Aaron puts up that dead clock and it starts to go down, yeah, I will gleefully say, you know what? I'm wrong. I was wrong. The big, beautiful bill was, in fact, a big, beautiful bill. Because Trump says that $2.3 trillion that you see is going to be extinguished by the tariff income and even overcome by the tariff income to where we will actually be operating in a budget surplus. That's what he says. I know that's, he ain't lying. That's what he believes. That's what Bessent believes. But there isn't any more of a bookworm than Scott Bessent. So, and he's been right about everything. Trump's been right about everything. And when I'm proven wrong, I'll come out and say that I was wrong because I hated the big, beautiful bill. Still do, because it still should be cuts in there. Still should not, regardless of, you should not be counting on tariff profit. I appreciate that they are. I will appreciate it if they actually lower the debts and deficits. But still, there easily could have been $1 trillion cut out of the big, beautiful bill. Very easily. So huge deal here, possibly the biggest in United States, not just United States history, but world history. Over $1 trillion worth of trade deals. You're looking at it right there. It's like 1.3-ish, 1.4-ish trillion dollars, not even counting the 15% tariff income and profit that we're going to be making. So it is a big deal. And Democrats, you don't do any of this. I can't imagine being somebody. I don't understand knowing that you are supporting that which is wrong and continuing to do so. I mean, yes, you're getting paid to do so, but why in the world would you ever go out and lie for a living? Go to the next one for me. Daniel Baldwin tweet, new baseline tariff rates for countries that have struck a deal with Trump. Remember, this is, nobody's going to sign the deals. That's never going to happen. Well, okay, Japan has. And that's a $1 trillion deal. Indonesia, 19% tariffs now. They're going to pay sending their goods to the United States. Japan, 15%. You know what this is going to cause all these people? What does Japan do more than anything else? They sell in the United States of America cars. What are they going to do now? They're going to come build their factories here. UK actually sends a lot of cars here. They're going to build their factories here. EU sends a lot of cars here. They're going to come build their factories here. Those are all great paying upper middle class jobs. EU 15%, as we've already covered. UK gets a deal because they're our closest or semi-closest ally. They get the lowest deal on tariffs. They get the best deal on tariffs. Philippines, 19%. These countries are going to look to build their factories in the United States to avoid these tariffs. All right, let's go to the next one. So here's some political gamesmanship going on. There are 136 Trump nominees waiting for the Senate to confirm. And what's Mike Johnson planning on doing? What's John Thune planning on doing? These rhinos, what are they planning on doing? Going on a month-long recess, starting in 2 days, with 136 nominees still waiting to be confirmed by the Senate. They're going to go on a vacation. Listen to these statistics actually given by John Thune, the Patriot Oasis video. Play for me.
I refer to this, Mr. President, as a historic level of obstruction. And I mean it. President Trump is the only president on record to not have a single one of his civilian nominees confirmed by unanimous consent or voice vote at this point in his presidency. The only president on record. Just to offer a point of comparison here, by this point in his presidency, President Biden had 44 civilian nominees confirmed by voice vote. President Trump hasn't had one. 44 for Biden, 0 for President Trump. And so when I say this is a historic level of obstruction from Democrats, I mean it. That's not a Republican talking point. It's just a fact.
Now, I've got a lot on Democrats here at the end of this section on the Trump Trump administration. But anyway, so you have a simple way of confirming nominees called voice voting. Very easy to get done. And that's the way they fast track all these nominees. Because when you go in, I believe you have to hire somewhere between 4,000 and 7,000. I can't remember what number it is. You have to fill all these slots. Doesn't mean you have to actually fill all those slots. You may keep some holdovers or whatever. But basically, you've got to fill, I believe it's 4,000 slots when you start a brand new administration. Some of these are civilian nominees like these here. They're talking about that can be simply confirmed by voice voting in the Senate. So can very easily be done. Everybody passes. That's the end of it, right? That's the purpose of it. Real quick, get it done. By this time in the Biden administration, they had voice voted in 44 civilian nominees. Under Donald Trump, 0. This is our opposition. This is who the Democrats are. They're always talking about, you know, we need to get together. We need to be bipartisan. They're absolute liars. It's just very easy to sum this up. It is about good versus evil. And Republicans in and of themselves are not good. The Republican platform is very, very good. Republican leadership, John Thune, that guy voting right there, who right there is saying things that are very positive for us and is actually trying to facilitate these votes. If he stays and does it, then we know he's for real. If he goes home for a month, then we know he's not, because he's going to go home for a month. There's still 136 waiting to be voice voted in, civilian nominees ready to be voice voted in. And he may go home. If he goes home and does that, then we know that was just posturing on his part, you know, from the floor of the Senate. And John Thune, of course, he has I'm trying to remember whether he's the 51 or 49, because I get him confused with Cornyn. But regardless, he votes 50% of the time with Chuck Schumer. That guy talking right there, he couldn't look any more conservative. He couldn't sound any more conservative. He couldn't sound any more pro-Trump, but he's actually a phony. He's actually a fraud. He votes half of the time with the Democrats. Now, name a good Republican. 50, okay, Aaron just sent it to me. He's 51% Liberty score. 49% of the time, John Thune votes for Chuck Schumer. Is that how Rand Paul is? No. Is that how Ron Johnson is? No. But who's the leader that was picked? The guy who's actually going to vote with Democrats every single time. Because that's the point of it all when it comes to D.C. is to actually facilitate the globalist leftist. Aaron just sent me Rand Paul's Liberty score, 93%. And he's not the head of the Senate? He's not. How is it that we end up choosing somebody who votes 50% of the time with Democrats to be our leader? How is that? And it's all on purpose. Thune is put there on purpose by the two heads of the same snake. And John Thune, when he goes back and he campaigns in his district is his entire state. But when he goes back and campaigns as a hardcore right-wing conservative, but then legislates as a left-leaning Democrat, as a left-leaning centrist. And all of them, whether it's Thune, whether it's Cornyn, they actually, and some of them aren't even left-leaning centrists, like, you know, Murkowski and Collins or Romney. They're actually leftists. But they have a veneer of being right-wing so they don't get voted out. And so they usher forward the globalist leftist, bourgeois elitist agenda in a more palatable way. Instead of 100% of the time with Democrats, they vote 50% of the time. Well, if you're voting 50% of the time with Democrats, and again, it gets kind of complicated because every vote that you vote for, you know, for with the Democrats or against not or with Republicans or against Republicans, not all those bills actually move forward. But what, I mean, that's just a vote and whether they pass or not. That's his liberty score. But everybody can just acknowledge that we are not listing, we are careening towards being a leftist society. So John Thune's job is to occupy that seat so that he can usher forward in a more palatable way the leftist agenda, even though he's a Republican, because really he's a globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist. That's the way that it really, that's really how it all works. All right, let's go to the border for just a moment. Libs a TikTok tweet. And this is the good stuff. Look at this. I mean, Trump is killing it at the border, killing it with trade deals. Overall, A, as president, A, he is. He is. Part of the reason why there's been some hindrances is because of people like John Thune, not him. He's on his own. He's cut off his own knees a little bit, but overall, major successes. And the most successful 6 months of any administration in American history going back to the Revolutionary War. Those, whether you're dealing with George Washington, those are more successful because it's the foundation of the country. But other than that, more successful than anybody, certainly in my lifetime. Illegal alien arrested. Here's another one. Raping a child let in by Joe Biden. Marvin, here's the name, Aaron. Of course, it has to be four freaking names. Marvin Jose Vasquez Martinez, an illegal alien from Honduras, was arrested in North Carolina after allegedly raping a 9-year-old. Isn't that great? And if you're a Democrat, imagine, and I know that this is redundant for those of you that watch this podcast all the time, imagine being a Democrat right now on July 28th, 2025. Your position is, I want to keep Marvin in the country. Really, it is. You want to advocate for his rights. Vasquez reportedly forced the child to perform sex acts on him at an apartment complex and then told the child not to tell his parents about it. This is the guy that Democrats want to keep in the country. Don't lie to yourself. Please don't lie to yourself. This is who you want to keep in the country. And you're like, no. No, you're like, no, we want people like Kilmar Brego Garcia, the guy who was caught human trafficking in 2022 by the Tennessee State Patrol. That one. That's who you're advocating to keep in the country. That's what you are all about. That's the kind of human being that you are. I mean, it really is. As a Democrat in 2025, you're the kind of human being that actually wants sex traffickers and child rapists left in the country and given due process. Even if there's an accusation, they should be deported. You're deported. Any accusation, deported. You have no rights here at all. Not one. Not one right. Even though the Democrats constantly say that you make it, that again is the cause of the Democrats to give rights to illegals that don't in fact exist. Here's a funny one. Insurrection Barbie video. Here's CNN. Well, it's not CNN. It's a report about CNN. CNN used a doctor who has not seen one patient post-residency, so never seen a patient as a doctor. CNN used a doctor who's never seen a patient and specializes in administrative, to do a segment where she lied about President Trump's health. Listen to this. Play for me.
Reportedly used a fake doctor to rev up claims that President Trump's venous insufficiency diagnosis was somehow more serious than it might be. They turned to somebody called Chris Purnell, who's CNN's medical expert, but apparently she's not even a doctor and is reportedly a diversity, equity, and inclusion specialist who hasn't practiced medicine since her residency. Mick, this is just ridiculous.
No, it's not. It's par for the course.
This is what the media
does to Donald Trump. I mean, it just is. This has been going on now since Trump came down the steps in 2015. They hate the guy. They really do. And to most on the left, or many on the left, with what we call Trump derangement syndrome, the ends justify the means. Lying to people is okay. Lying about Donald Trump is okay. Making up doctors is okay. Covering for Biden's mental inabilities is okay. It's all okay as long as it's aimed at preventing Donald Trump from becoming president and then doing what he wants to do. So it doesn't surprise anybody who follows it. I'm just glad, again, the rest of the world is getting a chance to see it, because Republicans in this country have known that this kind of stuff is going on for years. It's just
I can't imagine waking up and getting dressed every day, you know, having breakfast with my kids, even though I never did that, but I never have dinners with my family or anything else. But you're like, Dad, you must be a horrible father. No, well, listen, everybody turned out great. Everybody turned out safe, so that's a good thing. But anyway, I'm certainly not a traditional dad, is what I'm saying. But anyway, so I don't want to paint a false picture. But say they're more traditional, and how do you get up every day? Get your kids ready for school, have breakfast with them, and you know that you lie for a living. We're gonna book Chris Purnell here, whose expertise is diversity, equity, inclusion. Certainly not a doctor, not an MD. Yes, she was qualified as one, but has never seen a patient and has now become basically an expert in worthlessness and diversity, equity, and inclusion. And you're going to have her give an expert. Why would you not bring in, you know, if you're a medical person, you know what the specialty would be to bring in somebody who specializes in circulation. I don't know if it's called or pulmonary, whatever it may be. But you don't bring in a vein or circulation expert. You bring in a diversity, equity, and inclusion doctor who has never seen a patient. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. It's just like they said, here, you have that lie. And then today's lie that the shooter was a white guy. So here's your expert doctor's diversity, equity, inclusion. And then they say, Aaron, you're supposed to hit the pick right when I'm talking about that. But anyway, if you have it still. But there it is. That's the white guy. CNN said this. There's the white guy that's shooting today. I mean, you get up in the morning, you say, you know what? I'm just, who am I as a person? Who am I? I'm Jake Tapper. Who am I as a person? You know, I'm a CNN commentator. Who am I? I'm a liar. That's who I am. I'm a liar. I'm a repulsive human being. That's going to say the shooter is white and that this doctor is an expert in circulation. Absolute liars. It's just is really a disgusting way to live. And I don't understand it. I get it. You can bring it back to me. I can get, no, you're a Democrat, whatever. I mean, I don't understand why anybody would ever want to be that. And you're wanting to argue for reparations. Okay, well, you're not a liar for arguing reparations. You would have to use lies to ever get them. But you want socialism. It doesn't make you a liar if you want socialism. But I mean, what it means to be a leftist right now in 2025 is you have to get up and just be a liar. I mean, you're Jake Tapper, and you say that you didn't have any idea of Joe Biden's cognitive decline. Why did you? And he actually says this. Well, Jake, why is it that you didn't have any idea that Joe Biden had a cognitive decline? Because nobody in the White House told me. Well, why is it that the rest of us could see it and you can't? Because you actually could see it and you were lying about it. And every day you get up, look your wife in the eye while you're having your morning coffee, and lie. And that's who you are. She knows that you lie for a living. You know that she knows that you lie for a living. I really can't understand how people could function on a daily basis with themselves like that. I honestly couldn't. Speaking of liars, let's go to this one, MJ Truth Ultra video. So now New York Attorney General, big Tish, getting bigger every day, James, just announced she's suing President Trump for taking illegal aliens off of SNAP. So she's taking, Donald Trump is removing illegal aliens, 1.4 million of them, off of welfare. He's moving them, of course, they'll always say, they're not on welfare. They're not on welfare, Aaron. They're not on welfare, Brett. They're on SNAP, which is funded by welfare. I mean, that's the disgusting human beings that, I mean, obviously this person is. So here she is. She's now suing Donald Trump. Here's another lawsuit out of the hundreds she's already faced because Donald Trump dares to not give illegals welfare. Play for me.
Today, Attorney General Bonta, Attorney General Dana Nessel, and I are co-leading a coalition of our fellow Democratic attorneys general in suing this administration to protect SNAP and the sensitive personal information of all of its recipients. The federal government's demand that states turn over SNAP recipients' data is flat out illegal. In fact, our laws prohibit us from disclosing this SNAP data unless it is strictly necessary for administering the program. And in this case, it is not. This latest action from this administration is nothing more than an attempt to sow fear and to cause chaos amongst vulnerable populations. And we are suing to uphold the rule of law, to protect the sensitive personal information of everyone who receive SNAP benefits, and ensure that this administration does not use critical and necessary food assistance to target immigrant communities.
Imagine the asinine nature of what that woman just talked about. And that's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. You are defending the rights of an illegal alien to receive United States taxpayer funded welfare. That's what SNAP is. It's basically food stamps. That's what it is. So for the ease of conversation, we're just going to call it welfare. And of course, Democrats will say it's not welfare. It's just like they'll say they're not on Medicaid. They're on Cade of Medical. That's funded by Medicaid. That's the games they always play. They're on the NGO's version of Medicaid that's funded by Medicaid. That's the games they play. So just imagine again the asinine nature of everything that woman just said. She's saying that Americans should pay for those who illegally crossed our southern border, that Americans should pay for their food now that they're here. That's like saying if someone breaks in your house, you owe them a snack. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025, right there. And it's just like what they were talking about in the pregame with Frank Luntz and how Gavin Newsom now is dropping F words all the time and trying to be greasy haired, bleached tooth Trump. You can't, Gavin. You can't. You're just not. You're too effeminate. You're not masculine. Your wife runs the show. You can't be Donald Trump. Okay, sorry, but that's the games that they're trying to play. They're trying to be like you're not. It's not going to happen. You're losing because of this. You can drop as many F words as you want to drop. It's not going to work. You can be Trump light all you want. It will not work because of this. Americans know, every American, even Big Tish knows this is asinine, but she believes that it's politically beneficial for her, expedient for her to do this. So she even knows that it's wrong and is doing it so that she personally will benefit from it. So anyway, so she's advocating for the right of an illegal to receive food stamps from the United States taxpayer, paid for by the United States taxpayer. She says that is illegal for Donald Trump to access the SNAP records of illegals who aren't protected by the laws of the United States of America. They're not protected by our laws. They're not protected. They're protected by rudimentary laws of not, you can't murder them or steal from them or something like that. But they're not protected by our Bill of Rights. They're not protected by laws that aren't universal, that are specifically targeted at United States citizens. United States citizens on SNAP, their records have a level of privacy, but not them. They're illegals. They're not even supposed to be on SNAP at all. And she's saying it's illegal for the Trump administration to access these records. They aren't illegal. It's not illegal for us to access records of illegals, even if they are pseudo classified, sort of, or I'm trying to think of the exact verbiage that they use. But anyway, so it's not at all illegal. And she goes into the vast explanation of how it's illegal to disclose SNAP data for a United States citizen. Not for somebody illegally receiving it. That would be like saying that it would be illegal for me to access the bank records of somebody who's committing a RICO violation. Is it illegal for me to access their bank records? No, they are in fact committing a crime. And you cannot use laws that are put in place, privacy laws that are put in place to protect criminals. And that's exactly what she's doing. Now I have to show you this because I'm just showing you the enemy right now. This is a Blaze video, the Blaze video. This is Senator, I think it's, I can't remember, it's like McCarty, something like that. But anyway, this guy. This is, and he's done another real, remember he was did that other real creepy one creepy. Where he came out with those signs. Aaron, see if you can find that thing.
Ed Markey.
See if you can find that creepy one with him, like with that slide thing. See if, if you can, if I'll he, it, no matter what, when you find it, if I'm still in the enemy section, because I've still got, well, this I got two more enemy section ones after this. But anyway, these guys are trying to be, you know what I never try to do is be socially relevant. You know, I mean, my son talks a certain way. He's 26. I can't talk that way. I don't even know the words. There's just certain words that they say. I don't try to talk like that. You know, and it's just like when you see a woman, no matter how good looking, no matter how thin, no matter how young she looks even, dressing like a woman who's 19, you look like an idiot. And this is Democrats actually trying, it's just like they recruited that big fat woman to reach out to white American males. I mean, that's what they did. They actually recruited a giant fat woman that no white American male ever would want to date to reach out to white American males to try to get them to vote Democrat. So what is it going to, Ed Markey, right?
Yeah,
Ed Markey. Yep. But anyway, so here's Ed Markey joining the TikTok generation, trying to be relevant. Play for me.
My name is Pink and I'm really glad to meet you. You're recommended to me by some people.
this illegal? Hey, it feels illegal.
I mean, how creepy, guys? How creepy is that? That's the best Democrats can do. That's the, now you saw in the pregame, the video that I put out from Homeland Security from Kristi Noem. That's the best. I mean, that's really good. That is. Look at this. I mean, and you saw him in that second video when he opened the door and the look on his face. He simply he could have had it tattooed on his forehead. I am, in fact, a pedophile. Honest, I mean, that's what it should say, because that's what he looks like. He opens the door. It's like, where's your daughters? Where's your sons? Look at this. This is the best they can do. This, I mean, now, again, this is great news for us. It's great news for us that this is, in fact, the best they can do. All right, let's go to the next one. Let me show you a more serious note here, the researcher video. Here is side by side. I want you to see one of the most evil men in America. Nobody knows who this guy is. You do probably that are watching this podcast because you're red-pilled. But a lot, most people don't know who this guy is. Mark Elias from Perkins Coie. Let me just for a moment introduce you to who this guy is. This is the guy who cost Trump the election in 2020. That's who this man is. He goes around to all the various precincts and voting jurisdictions around the country and advocates for illegals and to vote and for people and for no voter ID. That's what he does. And he says when he's as he's doing that, that he is or he says the reason he's doing that is to fight for democracy. He's out there fighting for democracy and against totalitarianism by advocating for no voter ID, no signature verification, no proof of in any way, shape or form of who you are. Again, and the only states that Kamala Harris won were states that have no voter ID, no signature verification. Every other state Trump won and won basically by a landslide. And that's what this guy does. He's a member of Perkins Coie. Let me give you a little specific thing that this guy did. He worked with, and you've heard this if you watch this podcast all the time, he worked with Brad Raffensperger, who is the Secretary of State, recently even reelected last year, Secretary of State for Georgia, who is mockingly a Republican. He's not remotely close to being a Republican. He simply runs as a Republican and then legislates as a Democrat. And is basically who turned Trump into Fannie Willis and cooperated with Fannie Willis. That's who that guy is. But anyway, so him, Raffensperger, and Mark Elias here from Perkins Coie, and yes, if you're wondering, is that the same Perkins Coie from the collusion narrative? Absolutely. Mark Elias, Perkins Coie, hired by Hillary Clinton and the DNC and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who then hired to create the collusion hoax. This guy right here created the collusion hoax. Nobody knows who this guy is. No, unless you're red-pilled, nobody knows who Norm Eisen is. These are the guys that behind the scenes are running the country, just like President Otto Penn and Jeff Zients was running the country at that time. These are the guys that are subverting the Trump agenda. Mark Elias. And they get funding. And I'll bet you every single bit of their funding comes from you and me. I'll bet you that right now. They're multimillionaires. And they receive funding, I guarantee you, from NGOs. Do I know that for a fact? No. But I guarantee you that Donald Trump actually pays for Mark Elias to oppose him every second of the day. I guarantee it through legislation, through the CR, not through the big, beautiful bill. But anyway, so you have Hillary Clinton hires Mark Elias at Perkins Coie to create the collusion hoax. And they hire then Fusion GPS to perpetuate the fusion, collusion hoax, who hired Christopher Steele, who hired Igor Danchenko. That's it. That's who this guy is. And then in that election in 2020, he meets unilaterally, one-on-one, for hours, a Democratic Party Perkins Coie activist. For some reason, gets a one-on-one conversation, one-on-one meeting with the Secretary of State for the state of Georgia. One-on-one audience with the Secretary of State. You know why? Because they're one and the same. They're just Trump-hating globalists. Conservative-hating globalists. That's who they are. And what do they decide to do? Make it impossible. They do this in March of 2020. Of course, the election's November of 2020. They make it by Georgia state law, unilaterally by themselves, without going through the House, without going through the Senate for the state of Georgia, without going through even Kemp the governor, although I believe Kemp the governor knew, because he's another fake Republican. And they make it impossible to adjudicate ballots on the night of the election. Now, every year prior to that, you could easily adjudicate a ballot night of the election. Very simple parameters. Now what you would need to do in your first ever mass mail-in voting election, because everyone's terrified of COVID, can't come in and vote in person, which is ridiculous, but you would actually need to streamline the adjudication system, because you're going to have a lot of unusual votes come in because it's the first mail-in ballot election. But no, they made it impossible. A easy system, they made impossible to adjudicate ballots on the night election. That way, all these single vote ballots that came in from China that had just Joe Biden marked in by a computer with fake names could not be adjudicated the night of the election. Impossible. They made it impossible to adjudicate ballots. They had put a system in place that basically would take you 3 hours a ballot. You can't do that night of election. You couldn't do it in the entire time from the election to the moment that it needed to be certified. That was put in place on purpose by this man, Mark Elias, and Brad Raffensperger. They did it on purpose to steal the election by 11,000 votes from Donald J. Trump in Georgia, as well as the Ruby Freeman, Shea Moss, putting in the same ballots over and over again. That's part of the adjudication system. You should be able to, via the adjudication system, say, I've already seen that name twice that Shea Moss put through. That's part of the adjudication process. He made it impossible to do so. He's also, of course, the author of the collusion hoax, and he's starting to sweat bullets now. The researcher video, Russian collusion criminal, Mark Elias, is looking a tad nervous. Play for me.
Donald Trump is trying to change the attention of what issue his base is focused on. And they've tried a couple of things out, and none of them really stuck. The latest one that we saw this week was for them to falsely suggest for the president to make wild-eyed accusations that somehow suggested that Barack Obama and those close to him committed treason or otherwise are involved in a cover-up involving the 2016 election. Okay, the very fact that Donald Trump is talking about the 2016 election shows you what political troubles he's in, because it's like a synapse goes off in his brain, that addled head of his, that's like, ooh, I'm in trouble. Let's talk about Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election, even though, by the way, he won that election. But they're back at that. And he's doing it not only in social media, he's doing it not only with speaking, but he is now deploying the force of the federal government, using government resources to pursue this. How do I know? Because it was announced late in the week by the Department of Justice. They were setting up a strike force to look into these ridiculous, spurious allegations. That's right, a strike force.
AG Panbondi has already formed a strike force.
I don't really know what a strike force means at the Department of Justice. I mean, after all, let's be honest, it's a bunch of lawyers. So I assume they mean something more like a task force, but probably they didn't think task force sounded cool enough, so they went with strike force. Anyway, I worry that what they are going to do is further politicize the Department of Justice to suggest that there is some there when there is absolutely not. There is zero there. There's zero there here. There's zero there anywhere. All right, you can tell I've been on the road too long that I'm not necessarily making all the sense in the world, but it's important that you get these updates so that you're kept up to date in what's going on.
Now, I could spend an hour on that video alone. I mean, line by line. Here's a man that's complaining about Donald Trump weaponizing the DOJ after the DOJ, under Mark Elias's Joe Biden, raided Donald Trump's home, arrested and convicted and sentenced to prison Navarro and Bannon, raided Rudy Giuliani, raided James O'Keefe to get Ashley Biden's diary back. And Donald Trump is weaponizing the DOJ. A DOJ under Biden that basically put people that were complaining about trans activism on school campuses, about boys being in their daughters' bathrooms, put them on a terror watch list, that DOJ. And I could go on and on and on and on. Imagine, again, being Mark Elias, and you lie for a living. You know Joe Biden was the king of weaponizing the DOJ, and then you're going to falsely accuse Donald Trump of weaponizing the DOJ. He knows that it's false. And what Mark, what's so funny is he's going, we're going to go back and talk about, you know, 2016 and the DOJ is going to be weaponized against me, and weaponized to get to the bottom. If there was actual collusion in 2016, Mark, then wouldn't you want the DOJ weaponized against crime? Wouldn't you? But imagine again, this is the level of disingenuousness, the level of dishonesty, the level of lack of having a conscience of even human dignity at all, of what Mark Elias is doing is accusing Donald Trump of weaponizing the DOJ to look into the lie that Mark Elias actually created. He's saying, how dare you weaponize the DOJ to look into the lie that I created? That's exactly what he's doing. And still claiming, I mean, here we are almost 10 years later, claiming that the lie that he created has any measure of validity. He's claiming that this was a legitimate investigation. No need to weaponize the DOJ to look into a legitimate investigation that he, in fact, knows is not legitimate because he's the one who made up the reason for the investigation. He made it up. He was hired to make it up. He was hired to make it up that Donald Trump was being peed on by Russian hookers. He was paid to make it up that Donald Trump was meeting with Russians to collude against Hillary Clinton. He was paid to do it. And now he's complaining about the DOJ saying, first of all, that this is in fact a hoax. How dare you say it's a hoax? It was a legitimate investigation. He says it as if he's sure of it. I think after a while, these people just believe their own lies. And it's very akin to Clapper, Comey, and Brennan. They hearken back to lies that substantiated the beginning of the collusion hoax. Whatever it may be. The lie, whether it's the Papadopoulos meeting, whether you're just using the Steele dossier, they'll hearken back to the Steele dossier to legitimize their position that this was a valid investigation when the Steele dossier was a lie at the very beginning used to launch an investigation. And they'll hearken back to it as if it's true. And Elias does the same thing. Just absolutely repugnant human beings. Disgusting human beings. How dare you call this a hoax? This was a legitimate investigation. You know you made it up. You know you made the entire reason for the investigation up, and you're still claiming it's a legitimate investigation? And I just got to play this for you. I know I played it. I'm actually playing it for the last video, too, in the post game, but I just had to play it because it's just hysterical to me. Fox News video. This is very recently. These are the people that are in charge of this country. These are the side by side. This, would you? So people know what I'm talking about. Of course, it's Nancy. This is what we send to Washington D.C. Are people like this? I mean, it's no wonder that 13 Americans get butchered at Abbey Gate because this idiot's running the show. I mean, it's no wonder we're $37 trillion in debt. It's no wonder 15,000 illegal border invaders cross the southern border every day under Joe Biden. It's no wonder. Look at her. She's obviously drunk. Listen to her little speech here, introduced by Jason Chaffetz. Listen to her speech. She obviously walks up to a podium with her name and lights. I mean, how drunk do you think that she, what do you think she'd blow on a breathalyzer? Play it for me.
Leftists held a Voters of Tomorrow summit in an attempt to appeal to Gen Z. And who better to do that than the queen of the old guard, Nancy Pelosi. She tried to fire up the crowd with this rousing speech about the national anthem.
One of my favorite lines in it is, truth through the, proof with the P, proof through the night. What's in there? We have all the rockets right there. Proof through the night. So I was there. And that's when I start cheering, because that's our responsibility to prove through the night of this wretched.
How many cops do I have watching this show right now? Okay, that right there, you pull that person over there. And she's going, and truth, proof with a P. And then the rockets are red. I mean, drunk. This is what, these are the people that decide the future of the United States of America. That's what's in Washington, D.C. I mean, is Ted Cruz any better? I don't know. That dude's weird. Okay, I mean, how many Republicans are actually better than that? Some, the platform is way better than Democratic Party platform. But the politicians, basically, it's very hard to differentiate between them. But there she is. You know for weeks that you're scheduled to go up to a podium and give a brief little speech and you show up drunk. You can't even stay off the vodka tonics for half a day. I mean, all you need to do is get through the speech and then go slosh yourself to sleep. But she couldn't even do that, and that's who's running this country. Let me show you some economic records out of the state of California. Mario Nofal tweet. So let's institutionalize Democratic Party policies, and let's see how well it goes. Breaking California schools, flop. There you go. Flop. Anywhere you go where a Democrat is running, this is what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. You have to embrace failure and pretend like it's success. How do you even make this successful? How do you put any veneer of success on this? California schools flopped despite $127, get this with a B, billion-dollar budget. California spends a jaw-dropping $127.7 billion on K-12 public education, more than any other state, yet ranks just 30th in overall school quality. That's what it means to be a Democrat. According to WalletHub, smaller and poorer states like Mississippi, Republican, Idaho, Republican, Kentucky, even though they have a Democratic Party governor, Beshear, is all Republican, except for Lexington, ranked higher. California, under Gavin Newsom, this is all how you defeat Gavin Newsom very easily in the upcoming 2020 late election cycle. California came in 29th for education quality, 29th out of 50, 37th out of 50 for school safety, and ranked second worst, and so 49th in percentage of high schoolers threatened or injured. It's just great to be a student in a Democratic Party state. That's despite spending about $18,000 per student per year. Go to the next one for me, Brent. Mario Nofal tweet. California lost 18,000 fast food jobs after $20 minimum wage law. A new Newber study says California's fast food sector shrank by 3.2%, costing 18,000 jobs. Great job, Democratic Party policies. As always, look at Gavin standing there. Doesn't matter to him because he's still going to go home to his $11, $12 million mansion. And after the $20 minimum wage kicked in, the study found this happened while the rest of the country saw job growth in the same exact period. There you go. Let me show you one more before we go. This is Jonathan Shuttlesworth tweet. Just go to the next one for me. I just have to show you what's going on in Canada. Make sure that you follow. This is one of my favorite preachers. Jonathan Shuttlesworth, Rodney Howard Brown, my two favorite preachers on the planet. Follow Jonathan on Twitter, if you can, all other social media platforms. Awesome preacher. I mean, really awesome. But anyway, the city of Montreal has said they will fine a church. So everybody knows what's going on. I'm preaching about this on Sunday. Well, I was preaching about it on Sunday morning. I don't know what I'm going to preach yet this Sunday. But anyway, starting about the sign of the times, baby. The city of Montreal has said they will fine a church for holding a worship event in their own church without a permit. We just held a worship event called Crave right here at Foundation Church. In the city of Montreal, you will have to get a permit to hold a worship service. This is where we're going. This is why all of you COVID caving, and again, I'm not probably speaking to anybody watching this podcast, but make sure that you forward this to somebody who this fits for. This is why all you COVID caving, virtuous Christians who wanted to show us your virtue by closing your churches, by donning masks and pipping and whoring vaccines, because that you're the compassionate one, not the Bible reader, not the Bible thumper, not the Bible, not somebody who actually lives by the word of God, but the Christian who says, you know what? My form of virtue is Christianity, not the word of God. My form of virtue, my form of love, my form of compassion, my form of cooperation, 15 days flat on the curve, together alone together. My form of niceness is Christianity, not that Bible, even though Jesus is the word, John chapter 1, verse 1, and John chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus is the word. But yet you're somehow a worshiper and follower of Jesus because you follow your own version of Jesus. This is what this gets you. Caving to these precursors to the mark of the beast, like masking, like vaccine, like vaccine mandates, like closing, like totalitarian emergency executive orders. This is what it gets you. That you have to get a permit to run a worship service in your building. If this holds up in court, that a church needs government approval of singers and preachers who lead services in their own private property, where would this rank Canada in the world for religious freedom compared to other non-Muslim majority countries? This is what happens. You think that you're being compassionate by not following the word of God when the word of God is not your standard. Your standard, your baseline is your own feelings-based compassion. It just feels right because other people are uncomfortable with me not wearing a mask. So I put a mask on because I want to make everybody feel comfortable. Everybody just please marvel at my virtue. Marvel at my compassion and my niceness as a Christian. Now what you are is an effeminate, Pharisaic cultist, because you are following your own gospel. And your own gospel is your own virtue instead of the word of God, which says whatever you bind is bound and whatever you loose is loose. That's what you do with sickness. You don't put a mask on. You don't get vaccinated. You don't close your churches. You bind it and you kill it. That's what you do. But this is what happens, Canada, when you decide to make up your own version of Jesus and then worship at the altar of that demon, because that's what it is when you make up your own Jesus. All right, 10:18, that's good. 10:19 just now. Rumble rants tonight, nobody. Love you guys anyway. I love you guys in the chat, appreciate you. Listen, stick around for the post game coming up in just a minute. It's got some great stuff in it. Get to see Nancy drunk one more time. But anyway, love you guys, appreciate each and every one of you. Back here tomorrow night at 9 o'clock as always. God bless you.